We're turning back now to the great book of Acts. Mark Reddy is going to read for us from Acts chapter 4. And this morning, it's a great joy to have Chris Pyle preaching, and he will preach just after the reading.
Our reading today is Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1 through to 22. That's Acts chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John. Because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in his name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, please keep a Bible in front of you to Acts chapter 4, if you possibly can. It's lovely to be with you this morning, if only we could be together in person. But this is a fabulous passage from the New Testament. Now, in recent months, news stories have quite often been about scientists working on virus tests and vaccines. And nearly 100 years ago, in September 1928, a scientist at St. Mary's Hospital in London was experimenting on the flu virus. He'd been on holiday, came back to clean out some test tubes he'd left lying around the lab. But just before he washed them out down the sink, he noticed something unusual. While he was away, one Petri dish had gone moldy, but the mold, he noticed, was killing poisonous Staphylococcus bacteria. This was the famous discovery of penicillin by Sir Alexander Fleming. He later said, One sometimes finds what one is not looking for. When I woke up that day, I certainly didn't plan to revolutionize medicine by discovering the world's first antibiotic, but that's exactly what I did. He nearly washed it away forever, but instead, he discovered a cure that has saved millions of lives. And Peter says, in the center of this morning's passage, verse 11, to his listeners in Jerusalem, he says, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. It's a challenging statement, isn't it? Jesus rejected and crucified just a few weeks before. Peter says to his listeners, you rejected him and had him killed. But Jesus has become the cornerstone, the most important piece of all, the key to everything, the cure so desperately needed by a waiting world, is a fabulous passage about courage to speak, about the uniqueness of Jesus. This morning's is the third public speech recorded about the Christian faith from the early church, and it takes place in court, the very first time that legal action was taken against Christians to try to stop them speaking. It's a very inspiring story. Let's look at it under three headings. Firstly, their astonishing courage, faith under fire. Secondly, the unique message, no other name but Jesus. And thirdly, the result of the trial. They say, we cannot help speaking. So firstly, their astonishing courage, faith under fire. Today's passage carries straight on from the story of the healing in chapter 3, which you may have seen last week, about a man in a desperate situation. This is at the start of chapter 3. A man, verse 2, a man who had been lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. But when the man asked for money, Peter replied, chapter 3, verse 6, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God and creating quite a stir that takes us straight into today's passage. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Peter and John are speaking to the crowd that's gathered when the heavy mob walk in. It turns out Peter and John aren't going home that night. Acts chapter 4, from verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guards and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. And the following day, Peter and John are brought before the court. The Sadducees are there, part of the ruling elite of Jerusalem. And if the names are familiar, it's because some of the prominent figures from Jesus's trial a few weeks earlier were there. It was Annas that the soldiers brought Jesus to after his arrest. And it was Caiaphas who sent Jesus on to the Romans to be executed. So this was a terrifying place to stand. Verse 5. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? But look at Peter's attitude. A few weeks earlier, he had denied knowing Jesus three times to the high priest's servant girl. But now he stands up to the high priest himself. He's a changed man. Verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit, utterly confident in the resurrection that he witnessed. He knows his God. This is faith under fire, respectful and direct. How was the man healed? Says Peter, not by us, but by the name of Jesus. Verse 9, he replies with great courage. If we're being called to account today, says Peter, for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and us being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And even the judges are amazed by their bravery. Verse 13, skipping on a couple of verses, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. They knew their God. These men had been with Jesus. And Jesus had prepared Peter and John for this moment. There's no need to turn to it now, but Jesus said, back in Luke chapter 21, he told them, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought in front of kings and governors, all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your minds not to say beforehand how you will defend yourself, for I will give you words and wisdom. Jesus didn't promise any easy outcomes, but he did promise to give what they needed. Now, the Christian Walter Sischek was held in solitary confinement for 5 years in Lubyanka prison in Moscow in the 1940s for his faith, before being exiled to Siberia. And he said about that passage, how often did those words run through my mind during my interrogations by the NKVD, the secret police? How often I would love to have put down an interrogator with a brilliant remark, an unanswerable argument, yet it never seemed to work that way. The way that it did work was after much anguish, from a humbling place of utter dependence. Walter Sischek wrote, my confidence in God's providence over time became absolute. I was sure, completely sure, that he would lead me on the right path, and so it happened. When at last the interrogator asked me to sign an agreement, I just refused. I had not thought of doing so in advance. In fact, I'd gone along with him up to that point. But suddenly it seemed the only thing to do, and I did it. He became violently angry and threatened me with immediate execution. I felt no fear at all. I think I smiled. When he called for the guards to lead me away, and I had no assurance but that they were leading me before a firing squad, I went with them as if they were so many ministers of grace. I felt his presence and knew it drew me towards a future of his design and purpose. I wished for nothing more. Now, there are many dramatic stories of Christian persecution down the centuries and accounts of great courage under fire. Most of us have never been in dramatic situations like that, but all of us, if we're Christians, do know about the need for moral courage, whether that's about what we're brave to say and do, or what we're cowardly at times to hide, our self-censorship. It's a powerful thing to stand on the truth, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have confidence in the resurrection. This morning's passage says, the court took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do you remember that old question that says, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, this is a slightly different question. This says, could people say of us, these men and women have been with Jesus? They know their God. Lesson number one from Peter and John, seek intimacy with Jesus and be brave. Which brings us to our second point. The message they bring, their unique message. There is no other name but Jesus. And we're in verses 10 to 12 of the passage here. And there isn't much braver than this, because the people Peter is speaking to haven't just got Jesus wrong, they've killed him. Know this, he says, verse 10, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the power of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And verse 11 is a quotation from Psalm 118 in the Old Testament, which describes the stone that the builders rejected, the incompetent, culpable builders. But Peter sharpens the quotation further so that no one can miss his point. The stone that the Psalms talk about is Jesus, and you, he tells the court, were those builders. Verse 11. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Pretty important stone, wasn't it, Caiaphas? The one you threw onto the reject pile. It's devastating. Peter and John are quoting the Old Testament to the archbishops and the professors of their day to show them that they'd entirely missed the point of their own religion. And they hadn't just missed the Messiah, they'd had him crucified. This cornerstone, the only means of rescue, God's plan for the restoration of the whole world is founded on the man they executed. And Jesus isn't just outstanding, he is unique. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So Jesus is Lord, not a landlord, not a sea lord, not a time lord, but Lord over all and the only saviour. One of the great points of chapter 3 and 4 is that the healing of the disabled man, the local miracle, points to a greater healing and salvation that God has made available to every human being. It's a visual aid for the transforming power of Christ from the local to the global. Verse 10, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Verse 12, salvation is found in no other name. So Alexander Fleming saw penicillin in a Petri dish and understood what that could mean for the whole of medicine. Peter knows that the power that raised that begging man to his feet will raise even the dead to life. And Jesus's own resurrection proves it. Crucifixion was the verdict of the court, and the resurrection was God's verdict. Jesus, the only one who lived a perfect life, the only one who met God's standards, while all of us fell far, far short. He's the only one who could save, because only he could be our perfect substitute. And on the cross, he died so that we never need to face God's judgment. And only he has risen from the grave. So Moses and Abraham and the heroes of the Old Testament lie buried somewhere in the ground, and all the great philosophers of history somewhere, they've got a grave, and so do all the founders of all the world's religions, but not Jesus. His tomb was empty. The power in that courtroom and in Jerusalem, the power would have drained out of the Christians preaching in an instant if the court could produce the body of Jesus and prove them wrong, but no one could. So whether you're a Christian or not this morning, it tells us that the Christian faith isn't just an idea or a philosophy, but it's founded on the uniqueness of the person of Jesus Christ. And so it asks all of us, will you reject the person of Jesus? Or will he be the cornerstone of our lives as he is of the universe? There was a man called Sundar Singh who grew up as a Hindu around the early years of the 20th century. And at one time he was extremely hostile and anti-Christian. He once publicly burnt a gospel. But through various remarkable occurrences, he became a Christian and a great evangelist. And once he was invited to speak at a Hindu college, a lecturer asked what he had found in Christianity that he hadn't found in Hinduism. Sundar Singh said, I have found Christ. No, a little aggressively now, the man asked, what principle, what doctrine have you found in Christianity that you have not known in Hinduism? He replied, the principal thing that I have found is Christ. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Let's not settle for anything else or for anyone less. And as we come towards the end of this passage, we see that this episode of early church history ends with Peter and John released again to speak, at least for now. Our final section, the result of the trial. Peter and John leave, saying, as for us, we cannot help speaking. So the crowds outside the courtroom are praising God for the man's healing. The Sadducees can't produce the body, and they can't deny the miracle. The healed man's there, exhibit A. And so in these final verses, the power of the court ebbs away in front of our eyes, even as they threaten the apostles. Verse 14, since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Verse 16, what are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they performed a notable miracle, and we can't deny it. The court's admitting defeat. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. So this group of powerful men issue threats and intimidations. Verse 17, we must warn them. Verse 18, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And verse 21, after further threats, they let them go. Now, you can understand it at this point. If Peter and John decided to keep their heads down for a while, it's been a close shave, they could say, but we've come out in one piece. But they will spend their whole lives talking about the Jesus they know, the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, because they know there is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. Talking about Jesus will be the heartbeat of their lives, wherever it takes them, and as it takes the gospel from Jerusalem, beyond Jerusalem, and to the ends of the earth. Verse 19, Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And as we finish, let's pray that we would be those who follow in their extraordinary footsteps, who have the courage to remain faithful under fire, who won't settle for anything else but Jesus, and who cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the healing of that man in Jerusalem all those years ago. And we thank you that it points us to a much larger truth, that you're a God who has power even over life and death, and that you're a God who loves to save, for there is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. Please give us courage to be faithful when we face times of pressure, temptation, and opposition. Please would you make us, at All Saints Preston, people who cannot stop, who cannot help speaking about the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.